There's a very interesting medrash based upon the pasuk in this week's parsha, Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Yud. And these pesukim are talking about the halachos, the laws of the Kohen Gadol. And the pasuk says, "Va'Kohen Hagadol Me'echa V'Asher Yutzak Al Rosho Shemen Hamishcho Mile Es Yado Lilbosh Es Habegadim Es Rosho Lo Yifro Begadol Lo Yifro." Again, talking specifically about a Kohen Gadol, the Kohen who is Gadol Me'echav, he's above all of his brothers, upon whose head the Shemen Hamishcha, the anointment oil, has been poured on or was inaugurated to wear the Begadim. So he should make sure that he looks respectable. So there's a fascinating statement that said by the Sifsei Kohen. And he says as follows. He says, "Va'kohen ha'gadol me'achav, v'zen nemar al Aaron ha'kohen. Va'kohen ha'gadol," and the Kohen that's above me'achav, from above his brothers, this is referring to Aaron ha'kohen. Meaning, "Kamo she'Moshe Rabbeinu gadol b'nevuah," just as Moshe Rabbeinu is the Gadol, is the greatest of the prophets, as the pasuk says, "V'lo kam Navi od bi Yisrael kimoshe," that there is no Navi, there is no prophet in Klal Yisrael like Moshe. "Kein Aaron Gadol b'nevuah shel kahuna." So too says the Sifsei Kohen. He says that Aaron is Gadol b'nevuah Shel Kahuna, that there's no greater prophet of the Kohanim like Aaron HaKohen. Al Yidei Moshe Shehutzak Al Rosho Shemen HaMitzchishcha, through Moshe Rabbeinu who poured upon his head this anointment oil. It's a very perplexing statement to make, that what does it mean that Aaron is Gadol Me'echov? It means that there's no greater Kohen who has prophecy like Aaron HaKohen. Why is that statement necessary? What are we trying to learn from such a statement? What's the Sifsei Kohen teaching us? Why can't we just take it at face value that Moshe Rabbeinu lokam Navi od bi Yisrael kamoshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greater prophets, and Aaron was the greatest of the Kohanim? There's no Kohen that is greater than Aaron HaKohen. He's Gadol Me'echav. He's greater than any of his brothers, any other Kohen. But yet the Sifsei Kohen comes and tells us, no. What it means is that Aaron, Gadol B'Nevuah, Aaron was greater in Nevuah Shel Kahuna than in any other Kohen. It's a very, very difficult statement to suggest or to understand, and tonight perhaps we'll offer a little bit more clarity. The Psukim tell us this is the parsha of the Chagim in Perech of Gimel. The Psukim teach us about the holiday of Sukkos, Basukkos Teshvu Shivas Yomim. And there's a machlokes in the Gemara, or the Gemara brings down a stira. There's a contradiction, im tzorech lilmod basukkah or lo, whether you have to learn Torah in a sukkah or not. Meaning like this. It's universal that one has to eat in a sukkah, and okay, drink as well, to sleep for sure. Though it seems to be that there's a discrepancy as to whether one is mechuyav to learn, whether obligated to learn in the sukkah. So the Gemara's maskana is that it's not a contradiction at all. Lo kashya, ha b'migras, and ha b'yuni. What does that mean, migras? It means to learn, basically learning b'kios. To just go through basic level understanding of Gemara, for that, He's mechuyev to sit in a sukkah. He's obligated to sit in a sukkah. However, when it comes to learning bi'iyun, so learning bi'iyun seems to be from the Gemara, but the reason why he's obligated or not obligated to sit in the sukkah is maybe it's begeder pater mitztayer min ha-sukkah. That a person who is mitztayer, a person who is suffering, he's anguished, he's in pain. So just maybe that person is someone who's learning bi'iyun, and therefore he's mitztayer pater min ha-sukkah. Let's also have some clarity tonight into maybe there's another explanation why there's a difference between learning bi'iyun or learning bikiyus. Meaning, it has to be that it is something more than simply learning bikiyus or iyun, one is mitztayer, one's not. Meaning, why should learning bi'iyun be any more of a geder of one is exempt from the sukkah because of mitztayer, more so than bikiyus? Everyone learns differently, and people sometimes, maybe by bikiyus, also it's begeder pater mitztayer min ha-sukkah. So tonight, I would like to offer a little bit more clarity based upon a yesod of the Baal HaKedah to help us understand that seemingly perplexing idea of learning bi'iyun nullifies a person's responsibilities of learning in the sukkah. And our final question tonight is based upon the psukim that focus on the chag, the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. The pasuk tells us in Perek Chav Gimel, pasuk Chav Dalet, so the Torah tells us, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to b'nei Yisrael. Hashem is speaking to Moshe saying, speak to b'nei Yisrael. B'chodesh ha-shvi'i, in the seventh month, b'echal ha-chodesh, in the first of the month, yeh lochem shabbaton. Right, it'll be for you a shabbaton. Zichron trua mikra kodesh. It's a zichron trua. It's a remembrance with the trua, the sounds of the shofar, mikra kodesh. It's mikra, it's called holy. So Rav Schwab is trying to understand, and he's going to ask a very insightful question based upon this word of zichron, zichron shua. How do you understand the word zichron versus zecher? They're both remembrances. Why is it that the pasuk refers to this as a zichron trua, not a zecher trua? Rav Schwab explains, to answer this question, we have to look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam in the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet, he writes as follows. It's a very well-known Rambam. Even though that tkia shofar, the reason why we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is because the Torah decrees this is what we need to do. Remez yeshbo. There nonetheless is something that we can learn from this idea, this mitzvah, this gzeres hakosov. Meaning to say, oro yeshenim mishinaschem. Those that are sleeping, those that are in a very deep slumber, wake up, and look into your actions, and return, come back. Look into yourselves, perfect your ways. And leave, cast aside the ways of evil and all of those terrible thoughts, those that aren't good. And then the Rambam says, Lefikach, therefore, Tzarech kol adam, a person has to view himself, She'ira atzmo, he has to view himself, he has to look at himself, Kol hashana kula, the entire year, Ki'ilu chatzav zakai v'chatzav chayav. That the entire year he has to view himself as if he's half zakai, he deserves life, and half he deserves death. V'chein kol ha'olam, and the entire world, not only him, but the entire world is hanging in a balance. Chatzav zakai v'chatzav chayav. Chet, if I sin once, hichriyas atzmo, I've damned myself and the entire world to be punished, cause destruction. But if I do one mitzvah, says the Rambam, so not only for myself, but I benefited the entire world, then now the world is meritorious and the world is zochet, is deserving of life. But garam lo, and he causes for himself and to the world teshuva v'hatzola. This is the Rambam. The Rosh Schwab is very perplexed with the style of the Rambam and with the flow of the Rambam. Let me explain. This Rambam is the classic Rambam which many of us know that focuses on the shofar that's sounded, that's blown on Rosh Hashanah. As the Pasuk says, Ur Yishenim Mishinatzchem, wake up, check our deeds, look into ourselves. When we're hearing that shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah, it's supposed to inspire us today on Rosh Hashanah to do tshuva. Not only today, but okay, for these 10 days. It's the time, it's the aseris to make tshuva. And then the Rambam says, Lefikach, therefore, Tzarech kol adam, a person has to view himself, kol hashana kula, the rest of the year, meaning beyond Yom Kippur, as if the world is hanging in a balance. And then the Rambam continues and goes back, which I didn't read. And because of this, Lefikach, because I'm thinking about what's going to happen on January 15th and March 10th. Of Nein and Zed, Nagu Kol Beis Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael is accustomed to change their ways during the 10 days of repentance. So we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemeitzuah, Yom HaKippurim. Then the Rambam continues talking about the rest of the year, what our outlook, our hashkafa, has to be the rest of the year. And then we're going back. Ubebezem, because of this, Nagu kol beis Yisrael laharbos bitztakov maizem tovim, and to be osek b'mitzvos from Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. Again, going back to this idea of aseris tumei tshuva. Rav Schwab has a very difficult time digesting the style or the flow of this very, very sacred, well-known Rambam. So Schwab says brilliantly. He says it makes a lot of sense. The Rambam's style, the Rambam's flow, is from the Pasuk itself. It's from our original question. Why is it that the Pasuk uses the word Zichron Trua and not Zecher? So he says that there's a very big distinction between Zecher and Zikaro, Zichro. Zecher, to remember, it's to teach us, it's to guide us. Simply to remember. Meaning, to remember what happened in the past. Zachor, right? Zachor. We must never forget. We must always remember what the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'Zichrom, had done to us. It's something that happened in the past. It's reminding us to never forget what had happened in the past, says Rav Schwab. But it's not talking about the future. However, Zichron is a responsibility not only for the past, but it's a challenge and it's a responsibility that it has to extend not only in the past, but also in the future as well. And therefore, when the pasuk comes and tells us that the shofar has to be a zichron trua, it's not talking about the past, and it's not even talking about the present, but that shofar has to impact us, and it has to change us in our hashkafa, not only for the 10 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, but it has to inspire us throughout the entire year. On January 10th, we have to remember that shofar sounds that we heard on Rosh Hashanah. In the middle of March, we have to remind ourselves about the shofar blast, the trua, because it's a zichron trua. It's not a zecher only to remind us of what happened in the past, but it's a zichron to extend lahaba. And he brings a raya, he brings a proof, all the way in Sefer Breishis, that there's a distinction between our Kiddush and the way the Anshei Knesset HaGdola were misaking the tefillah. One is a zichro l'maisa breishis versus a zecher maisa breishis. That's not for now, but he brings a proof to illustrate this idea that there's a distinction between zecher and zichron trua, that zichron is mikan ulahaba, that it has to extend well into the future. It has to impact us. It has to change us. We have to take the shofar with us. And that, says the Akedah in Parshas Emor, is why when one learns Be'iyun, when one learns Torah in depth, he's Potter Min HaSukkah. Not because of Mitztayer Potter Min HaSukkah. Because when you're learning, you're learning. You always have to concentrate when you're learning. But the Akedah says, Shehalimud Asher Alzeh HaTovar Hu Atzmo Gufa Shel Sukkah. The lashon, the expression, the language of the Akedah is that when you are learning Torah Be'iyun, you become a sukkah. You are a sukkah. Hu atzmo gufa shel sukkah. In other words, you're totally engulfed in you're totally submerged into that sugya. When you learn Torah, not skin level, not superficially, you become a chefsa. You become the sukkah. You become a chefsa shel mitzvah, where now your total dynamic changed. Your reality is a different reality. In other words, what the Akedah is telling us, what does that mean? I'm walking around with four walls and I'm walking around with schach. What it means is that I have become a walking mitzvah. I have become a walking Sefer Torah. I'm no longer learning superficially. To learn superficially, not necessarily does it come into my kishkas, into my very being. It doesn't change me. It doesn't redefine me. But when I learn Be'iyun, when a person wants to know something in its most deepest level, he becomes one with the being. The greatest relationship is a husband and a wife. You dig deeper. I was just telling a prospective date, they're going out again for the fourth, fifth time tomorrow. I said, dig deeper. Get deeper, get to know the person more. Go Be'iyun. Because that's the way that you connect with someone. It's to go through the different stages. There's different levels of a person's personality, their essence, their mahus. And for you to connect with someone, you have to start unpeeling the layers and going a little bit deeper. That's Be'iyun. You become one with them. When a person is learning Torah Be'iyun, they become that mitzvah. He is the sukkah. In other words, he's taking the Torah with him. It's not temporary. It's not just hearing a sound and it not impacting you beyond the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Everyone is impacted during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. What Jew doesn't dedicate themselves to change? But it's what we do with the sounds in the middle of the winter. That's what defines us. We have to be Zichron Trua, where it's Lahaba into the future. The shofar made such an impact that I took the sounds with me. And that's what happens when a person learns Bi'iyun. Learning Bi'iyun is able to give you a perspective that now I'm taking it with me. I'm going beyond learning, beyond the sugya. I could even close my sefer, and I'm still a sukkah. I'm not even, sukkah was 4 months ago, and I'm still a sukkah. Because that's someone that's looking into the future, that's setting themselves up, for way beyond Rosh Hashanah, way beyond the shofar, way beyond the sukkah. Someone that's able to see broad, big picture. Not someone that's limited to a shofar, limited to a sukkah. That's limiting. I'm putting my religion based upon a vehicle or something that enables. No. I have to be that shofar. I have to live that shofar. I have to live that sukkah. And I think that's how we understand that medrash. You know, the psukim tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he wanted him to be the Goel, the Redeemer of the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo ish dvarim anochi. I'm not a man of words. Gam me'az dabrecha el abdecha. Right? I've never been a man of words. Ki kevad peh uchvad lashon anochi. I'm very heavy. And ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked Moshe Rabbeinu. Mi sam peh lo adam, o mi yosu mi ilim, o chereish, o pikech, o iver, halo anochi Hashem. I'm the one who gives the kayach to people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Moshe vayomer halo Aaron achicha alevi. Behold, is there not Aaron achicha, the Levi? And Rashi comes and picks up on this nuance of, isn't Aaron achicha halevi? And Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, halo Aaron achicha halevi. Ultimately, it was Aaron HaKohen who was supposed to be a Levi and not a Kohen. But the priesthood, Hayisi Omer Latzei Simcha, that was supposed to come from you, Moshe Rabbeinu, says Hashem. Me'atolo Yechin. But now it won't be. Elohu Yeh HaKohen Ve'atol Levi. He will be the Kohen, you will be the Levi. In other words, what the Torah is teaching us, or what the Sifsei Chaim is teaching us, that Aaron gadol b'nevuah shel kahuna, that Aaron was a gadol b'nevuah of kahuna, what it meant was, is that he saw in the future, he saw lahaba. He wasn't limited to what was now, Klal Yisrael, asking, well, who is this Hashem? How am I going to respond to this Hashem? Or how am I going to respond to these people when they ask me, what's your name? Or who you are? Moshe Rabbeinu, in a certain Nakuda, he was limited in the sense that he was asking all of these questions, and HaKadosh Baruch was saying, what are you worried about? Aaron HaKohen didn't have those questions. Because he was able to see into the future. He saw that there would be a redemption of the Jewish people. He saw that there was going to be a Beis HaMikdash. He wasn't stuck wasn't stuck on Rosh Hashanah listening to the shofar. He wasn't stuck on sukkah, sitting in a sukkah. He was way beyond that. He was already looking into the future. And that's what it means. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest of all prophets, it was Aaron Gadol ben Nevuah shel Kahuna, meaning he was zochet to the Kahuna because he saw Lahaba. He was the greatest of the Nevuah shel Kahuna, meaning that element of why he was zochet to Kahuna, he had a prophecy that not even Moshe Rabbeinu had. He saw that there was going to be a Beis HaMikdash. He saw that there was going to be an ultimate redemption. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu saw it, but on the Nekuda, on a level that Moshe Rabbeinu, on such a high level, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm taking it away from you, and ultimately I'm giving it to Aaron, because he's not asking these questions. He's able to not be stuck now. He's not stuck in, well, I can't speak, or they're not going to know who I am. They're not going to know who you are. They're working back-breaking work. Those are all insignificant. That's limiting. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want any limitations. This is such an unbelievable idea. You know, we live our lives with limitations. We limit ourselves. Well, we can't because I grew up in, it was an unhealthy home, so therefore I can't treat people, I can't have relationships. Or, and I'm not saying these are not excuses, they're valid. Or I grew up with an impediment, so it's not possible that I can accomplish when I get older. And these are all valid statements. But it just means that we have to work a little bit harder to overcome our challenges, to be able to look into the future, to see not only now or not only in the past, but to go lahaba. Aaron was able to go lahaba, and that's why Cain Aaron Gadol ben Nevuah shel Kahuna. In other words, it was because he had a prophecy in the future. Ultimately, he was zochet to the Kahuna. He wasn't limited. And we can't be limited by any of our limitations or any of our experiences in life, however limiting they are. We have to be able to pick up, to use all of the experiences that we have experienced in our lives, all of the kochos or the lack of kochos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And we have to go, and we have to achieve, and we have to accomplish. And that's the lesson of the shofar. It's a zichron trua. We have to be inspired not only when the shofar is there, can't be contained, it has to be lahaba. I have to learn. When I'm learning bi'iyun, I'm not relegated to sitting in a sukkah. I am the sukkah and I take it with me even when the sefer is closed because I've changed who I am. I'm now in the future. I'm beyond the sukkah. And ultimately, that was Aaron HaKohen's gadlus, that he was able to see that there was going to, he didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, granted, he wasn't speaking to him, but there wasn't that type of limitation. So on the level that Moshe Rabbeinu was on, such a lofty level, the greatest of all Jews, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that, you know what, it's time to give it to Aaron HaKohen. And Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us with only positive experiences. We shouldn't be limited at all. But if we are, and if this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw it, we just have to say, Viter. We move on. Lahaba in the future. And Amir Tzashem will be zocha to the coming of Mashiach. Will be zocha to be in the Tzela de Hamnusa. We'll be able to be in the shadow of Hashem, the shadow of belief. We'll be able to be zocha to Binyan HaBayis, the third and final Beis HaMikdash, where ultimately the Kohen Gadol will come. Aaron HaKohen Gadol will come once again and do and perform the Avodah in his rightful place. Have a wonderful Shabbos.